and boldness that may speak thy word. Okay? You know, when we witness, the main thing is we need to get them the word of God. That's what we need to give them, is give them the word of God. You know, you can tell them what the Bible says, but they don't know if it's the Bible or not. Right? Do they know it's the Bible? You quote a verse in the Bible, and you say the verse, and in their opinion, in their thinking, well, it does, that's nothing, right? But, you know, get up, get your Bible, and, you know, get a New Testament that fits, men. Get a New Testament that fits right in this pocket. You know, a little one, and so you got it with you all the time, and show them the Word of God. You know, show them John 3:3. You must be born again. You know what? They won't really believe that it's there unless you give it to them. They have to see it with their own eyes. If they don't see it with their own eyes, they don't even think that it's in the Bible. You're just saying something. And so we need to have pray for boldness to give people the Word of God. That is the key. And you know, there's different steps of boldness. There's the boldness just to talk for the Lord, but then there's another step of boldness that determines that you have to give them the Word of God. And that's what it's talking about here. And that's what people really need. They need to really hear God's Word. Okay, our memory verse for next week is John 15 and verse number 10. Great verse in the Bible. And trust that obviously the verses that we pick are for a purpose. Okay? And if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And obviously the purpose of this verse is to cause us to think about the great truth of our need to obey the Lord. Okay, let's have some prayer. And Thomas, lead us in prayer, please.
Lord, thank you that we can be here in Sunday school class. I pray that you would use your word to sanctify us. As Christ prayed to be sanctified through the truth, please strengthen our pastor, help him to have wisdom and strength as he teaches us. And I pray that we would put in practice immediately all that we learn from your word. We pray this for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen. Okay, well, here's a handout. Let's see. There's supposed to be an offering plate and a sign up. I don't know where that is. Tim, where's Tim plate? He's not here. Okay. Thomas, you're assigned to go get the offering plate and the right there. Okay. Okay, today we want to continue our discussion on the godly seed. Turn in your Bible to, first of all, let's turn to Malachi. And we're going to use that phrase from the Bible, Malachi, chapter number 3. I believe it's verse 15. Okay. Actually, it isn't. Or is it 2:15? Yes, it's Malachi 2:15. And did he not make one? That's talking about marriage. The two shall become one. Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, and the Lord of hosts, therefore, take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. Meaning to break the marriage covenant. Now, here we have this phrase, the godly seed. We're going to talk about this, because this is a very, very important theme in the Bible. And I want us to think about it in a practical manner. Now, A couple weeks ago when we talked about the godly seed, we went to Genesis and we saw a physical lineage of the godly seed. Okay? And there was some question about that, but we saw a physical lineage of the godly seed. This person begot this son, and this son begot this son, and this son begot this son, and all of them were godly from one generation to the next. Okay? Now, the question is, why? Is it because of the Presbyterians who say sprinkle some drops of water on a child and they're brought into the covenant? Is it because some people say, well, it's because they are the elect? Is that why there was a physical line of the godly seed? Now, this is an important question. Why was there a physical line of the godly seed? Sarah, we say now God has no grandchildren. Every child has to make his own decision, right? Okay? So, hey, come on right up here. There's a seat right here. The front row seats, they're most expensive ones, and you get the most out of them. Welcome. Hey, Paul, how you doing? Right here, man. This is the most expensive seat in the house. Okay. See, nobody else wants the good seats. They want to. I guarantee you, I'd like to see some of these people go to a basketball game and buy a ticket on the. I wouldn't go there, but, you know. Okay. Now. Okay, who has the answer? We've got all these Bible scholars here. Why? We won't let Thomas answer the question. Okay, not for a minute. But why is there a physical line of the godly seed?
There had to be for Christ to come into the
world. Oh, that's a good answer. There had to be for Christ to come into the world. Okay, but why? How did it happen? Okay, you got part of the answer. What is the answer? Proverbs 22:6. Turn to Proverbs 22:6. This is the answer. What does it say? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, what? He will not depart from it. Okay, is that in the Bible? Okay, does it mean what it says? Yes, it means what it says. Okay. It isn't a mistake. It's what the Bible says. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. The Bible is telling us that is how you have a godly seed in a physical line. That's how you have a godly seed along a physical line. Okay? It isn't an accident. It isn't election. It isn't the covenant of the Presbyterians of sprinkling. It's none of that. Okay? Now, let's go on the other hand. Okay? Now, let's go to example. We'll be there just for a minute. When Jacob came out of Syria and they came to Shechem, and Dinah had relations with, forgot his name now, the son of the king of Shechem. What was his name? Was that an accident? What was the problem? Did Jacob train his children right?
It didn't all turn out.
Why not? Because he didn't train them right, did he? He didn't train them right. And his lack of training was obvious with his children. Okay? And actually, what God had to do is God had to rescue the line, had to rescue Jacob's family. You know how he did rescue them? He had to take them down into Egypt where they were an abomination. And the Egyptians wouldn't have anything to do with them. And that's how they retained their identity. Because in the land, they did not practice separation, did they? They didn't practice separation, as seen from Dinah. Jacob didn't teach his family separation. And guess what? The seed was going to be destroyed, wasn't it? And that's a big subject. That's a big picture that we need to have in the Bible. Okay, now, today, you might be a senior citizen. You say, well, what good does this have to do, this lesson we're going to have? Well, I think it's an important lesson. I think that's something that all of us need to understand. And we need to think about these principles. Okay, we're going to ask a question today. Okay? And I realize that this is a hard question, and I realize that this is a generality, and that doesn't give all the answers, but I think it gives a lot of the answers. Okay? Why is it box seats are up here? They're expensive, but they're worth it. Okay? How is it that a person who grows up hearing the gospel all their life doesn't get saved? Now, I'm not going to say they don't make a profession of salvation, but how is it that they don't get saved? And what I'm talking about that person that is a rebel, that is a troublemaker, that is a manipulator, that prays 10 times to get saved and is never born again. Why?
Maybe they're not really paying attention.
Why?
No obedience.
What?
No obedience.
Right.
Why? Okay, I think we're hitting it. Why? Because of Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Okay, today our lesson is going to be on the correct discipline of children. Okay? Our lesson is going to be on the correct discipline of children. Now, I'm not going to say that what I'm saying is without any fallibility, because I'm just a man, but I'm trying to apply it in a way that people can understand it, and I may overgeneralize things. Okay? What is the key? What are the keys to correctly training a child? Number one key is, and we're going to skip ahead here because we're going to get to B and we're going to go back. Correct training involves discipline. Okay? What is the purpose of discipline? We're going to talk about that. What is the purpose of discipline? The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, Proverbs 22:50, is that right? And the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Okay? The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Okay? Now, we're going to try to put this in a balance, though. Okay? Okay? We just got a renewal of child discipline because we just had 6 grandkids. And in our home, taking care of them. And some of them were the same age, real little. Okay? And we just had a renewal lesson here. Okay? And you know, when kids get away from their parents, they're always worse than they normally are. And so that's why grandparents can fit in real good, because they just kind of fit into the cracks here. But what's the purpose of discipline? Okay, we're going to talk about that. Why does a child need to be disciplined? Okay, let's flip this around. What is the main purpose of a parent? Raise the children properly. And to raise them properly means to raise them so that they will get saved. Okay? So that they will get saved. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about praying a little prayer, you know, ask Jesus in your heart, like all little kids pray, and they never get saved. I don't talk about that. I'm talking about really getting saved. Okay? Now, what is the purpose of discipline? We're going to talk about that in a general sense. First of all, the purpose of discipline is to break that will. Okay? If that child's will is not broken, will they submit to God? No. If that will is not broken by the parents, how is that will going to be broken? Answer the question.
Jail.
Huh?
Jail.
Oh, jail. Maybe. Doesn't always work. Okay, this is a picture I'm painting. If we don't break their will, they aren't going to submit to Jesus Christ. What is it going to take for them to submit to Jesus Christ?
Some miraculous intervention.
Miraculous intervention? And usually how does that take place?
Trial.
Trouble. The bottom of the barrel. The reaping the results of rebellion. Now, it doesn't always happen, does it? Plenty of people get down to the bottom and they never, their will still isn't broken. Go to the nursing home. There's a bunch of people there, poor souls. Their will still isn't broken. And they aren't going to get saved either. And you know, the purpose of discipline, you see, God chooses parents to do what they're supposed to do so the child will get saved. And one of the issues is to break that will. That will isn't broken. They're not going to be able to submit to God. They can pray a prayer a million times, but they'll never get saved because their will on the inside isn't submitted to God. That will isn't broken. Okay? So the key is to parents. We've got to get this in our head. The key principle of parents is to prepare a child's heart so that they will get saved when they hear the Word of God. If the parent does their job correctly, when they hear the Word of God, they will get saved. Okay? Now there's another aspect of this. A parent has to give a child the correct view of God. Okay? The parents are instead of God. They're instead of God. God's given those children to parents, and they are to act in God's stead. Okay? And you know, there's some important things about God, and we're going to summarize it. First of all, God is holy. God's holy. So, that means that what God says really happens. Lee?
You mean when they hear the Word of God, they can get saved, not will get saved?
No, I mean they will. We're talking about the physical. Why in the Bible is there a physical godly seed? It isn't election. It isn't the covenant that the Presbyterians talk about. But why did it happen? Because God said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, the parent now realized that we're answering the question, well, how did this happen? And we see, and what is the plan? Okay, is it God's plan? Read Deuteronomy. It says, the plan is your sons and your sons' sons. That's what it says. It says a continuing generation, doesn't it? Okay, now, let's kind of put a couple things here. Why? Discipline doesn't work if a child doesn't understand, if the child doesn't feel the love of the parents. It doesn't work. You know, you can beat a little boy till he's blue, and he's not going to break. Let me ask a question. What can you do to make your child do right? What could you do? Now, if you know anything about boys, if you understand, and I'm sorry, but girls are just like that. They have a will too. Just had my grandchildren. And boy, they have a will. Okay? And you know, but you know what the key is? There has to be a loving relationship. A loving relationship, the love of the parent, a loving relationship, so that they know that there is a God that loves them too. If they don't have that correct image, why would they come to God? Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because that's what happens when we disobey God. There's a separation. Okay, that is the correct picture. We're supposed to paint the correct picture. We have a loving God. Okay, we are acting in the stead of God. We're teaching the children who God is. They don't know who God is. They haven't seen God, and we are to act in God's stead. That's why the dad is called the father. That's why, because he represents God. All right? That's why it says, fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Yes.
And I mean, with boys, with Paul, you have to be consistent with them, because if you're not, any little crack, they'll just run 100 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I told Paul about 3 months ago, I said, I'm not giving up on him until the day I die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So let's try to fill in the blanks. Preparation, let's see, correct training involves discipline. Number one purpose of discipline, it's a parent's responsibility to prepare them for salvation. Okay? Prepare them for salvation. Their will needs to be broken. You know what? There are some people who have beat their child, but they have not been able to correct them. They've not been able to correct them. And let me give you a real situation. Here's a little boy. He's born. And because of different situations, he's neglected for 3 years. Neglected. Probably fed the TV. Probably given anything he wanted, because there's so many other problems that were being taken care of, that was just babied. Okay? The boy spends his whole life wanting attention because mom and dad weren't in his life. Wanting attention. And goes to school, always is causing trouble. Why? Always wants to be the center of attention. Why? Was neglected. And the spankings don't work. Why? Because he never had a proper loving relationship. And the mother is always protecting the little boy. Always protecting the little boy. Why? Out of guilt. Because she never properly took care of him. Neglected him. You know, that child's going to have a real hard time getting saved. Because his life is all about self. All about self. And he's still living for self. And he's never going to get rid of living for self. And you know what? Jesus doesn't want to come into his heart and help him, so to speak. He needs to come as a lost sinner. And Christ wants to take over his life. He doesn't want to help, so to speak, help him do what he wants to do. The Lord wants to be the Lord. And it can go back to, you know, lack, that there has to be this balance. Love, okay, and discipline. Okay, now, so break the will. Teach the consequences of sin. Is there a consequence to sin? How does a child know that there's consequences to sin? The Bible says the wages of sin is death, right? God said in the Garden of Eden, the day you eat thereof, you will die. There's a consequence. Is there always a consequence to sin? Okay. Now, whose job is it to teach a child that there's a consequence to sin? The parents. Okay? When I grew up in Delafield, and we had Yunker's Tavern in town. And the young Yunker boy was a spoiled brat. And he would get in trouble, and he'd get in jail, and mommy and daddy would come and bail him out of jail. And he was always into trouble, always doing something stupid, always ended up in jail, and mommy and dad would always come and rescue little Bobby. I don't know what his name was. And he never changed. Because you know what? They never told him there are consequences to sin. How do you teach children there's a consequence to sin? You discipline them. Right? You discipline them. Okay, now, let's ask the question. Okay? And it's hard to teach this because I've failed miserably as a parent, but I still have to teach what's right. Okay? Okay, how many sins is there a consequence to? How many sins? Every sin. Right? Okay. So, what happens when we don't discipline children? We only discipline them when we feel like it. Okay. The subject at hand, though, there aren't any consequences to sin. Only once in a while. Only once in a while there's a consequence to sin. Is that true? There's always a consequence of sin, and there's a consequence to every sin. And you know what? Like I said, we had 6 grandkids. 4 of them were about the same age. You know? And 2 of them had gone through a pretty rough time not even having mom and dad for a number of weeks. And you know what? That's a big job. I remember one day I came down to the house, and I don't know what time it was. Might have been noon. And my wife was still, hadn't dressed yet. She was still in her nightgown and house coat. And she said, yeah, I've been taking care of breakfast and disciplining all morning. All morning. You know, it takes total dedication to raise a child. Takes total dedication. And what was she saying? She was saying, you know what? This happened and that happened and that happened, and I could have let it go. But I'm acting like mom or dad. I'm not going to let it go. I'm acting like a Christian. I'm not going to let it go. They have to be corrected. They have to have a spanking. They have to, whatever it takes, they have to be taught this is wrong, and that will. What happens when you don't stop that will? You understand what I'm saying? If you don't stop that will, it gets stronger. Okay? We are given the job to stop that will. And you know what? If that will isn't broken, guess what? They aren't going to be able to get saved. Unless something, God is going to have to bring some, because this is outside of God's plan. God's going to have to bring something into their life to break that will. Now, let's see. Yes. Okay, well, there's all sorts of different kinds of rules. But there's rules, there are things that are right and wrong that are always right and wrong. Okay? It's always wrong for a child to hit another child. Okay? That's wrong. It's wrong for a child to hit another child. It's wrong when you say to a child, come to grandma, and they go in the opposite way. Oh, I suppose your kids never did that. I'm sure your kids are perfect. But do you know what? We experienced that. I said to little JJ, come here. She turns around, whoosh, goes the opposite direction. Okay, I could let it go. No, can't let it go. They just willfully, you know what? That will was working there. That brain was working. You could almost see it was like an emotion picture. They're so visible. You know? And so Grandpa goes after her and tells JJ, Daddy, Grandpa said, come. And maybe in that particular situation, I give her a swat and I says, now you come. And so she comes to, I say, now you say you're sorry. And she comes to Grandpa and I give her a big kiss and a hug and I love her, but I have both. She's not gonna be allowed to do what she wants. She's not gonna be allowed to willfully disobey. Okay? On the other hand, I'm not gonna stop loving her. Okay? They have to see the combination. Now, there are some rules, but usually with little kids, you don't have to make rules. I mean, it's just the rules of right and wrong. Okay? You know, hit somebody or pull somebody's hair or grab somebody's toy out of their hand or whatever. I mean, that's life. Or lying, you know. I mean, it's always wrong. Okay? Now, when you get a little bit older, you have to be careful about rules, that you have to make sure that rules are reasonable. And so because all of God's rules are reasonable, aren't they? Okay? And they're doable. Okay? And don't make 5 million rules because you want to make rules. But we're talking about every discipline is aimed at what's on the inside. Brother Knipple.
Well, I just want to comment on the thing of rules and whatnot. Laws are not created for people that do the right thing.
Exactly.
Maybe kind of a contrast between Tim and myself. Tim, as a young man, the rules or the list of rules sound real practical, but I think from raising kids that you find out if you have a list of rules and if it says don't walk on the grass, then it's, well, you didn't say I couldn't ride my bike on the grass. Or you didn't say I couldn't do my homework. If it's just about rules, they'll find the exception of what you didn't say in the list of rules. And so they kind of have to know just to do right just because they know it's the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about this. Training the mind. Part of discipline is to train the child that there's a consequence of sin. Let me ask you a question. Does the mind that a child is born with, does it believe that there are consequences to sin?
No.
The mind does not believe that there are consequences to sin. So there has to be a teaching, a training, spiritual training of the mind that there is a consequence to sin. If they're not taught that, their natural instinct is there are no consequences to sin. I remember a number of times through the years after disciplining the child or in the process, I said, whoever I'm talking to, God has a penalty for sin. When you sin, you're going to get the spanking. But you know what? That's daddy's penalty for sin. But you know, God has a penalty for sin. It's hell. We're teaching them spiritual truths. You know what? A child is not born with a fear of hell. I've heard children talking about, oh, I'm going to hell. Yeah, I'm going to hell. Remember my wife's brother-in-law, their kids had bunk beds, and they would have this conversation. And they had a curtain over this room that was the dining room. So it didn't have really doors, had a curtain, and the kids were in there. And the kids at night, 5 and 6 years old, they say, yeah, I'm going to hell. Yeah, I'm going to hell too. They aren't born with a fear of hell. They aren't born. They don't know that there's a consequence to sin. What it's the job of the parents to show them there is a consequence to sin. Because their mind is darkened. And you see, I guess the whole thing that we want to emphasize is the parents are in the stead of God. This is really serious. Now, I'm going to ask you a very plain question. Okay? How many people out there, it's easy to generalize, how many parents out there, they think of themselves as their main duty is to discipline and to train their children, discipline them properly so that they will get saved? Most parents, if they do discipline, it's simply because of the trouble of their kids not obeying. Right? They just want to get rid of the trouble. And they don't understand why they're supposed to discipline. And Christian parents, because we were raised in the world, many of us, first generation, we don't know why. We don't know why. And if we don't know why, we're not going to do it. You know why? It's hard work. Yeah, exactly. That's why God gives kids, you know, to, you know, that's why when you get old, you don't have kids. You know, praise God. Because, man, it takes a lot of energy to be chasing after these little kids and being ahead of them. Okay? But we have to understand, what is the purpose? Now, the purpose, again, a godly seed does not come by accident. A godly seed does not come by accident. The Bible says these children are to be aimed as arrows. You know, I've heard parents say, you know, I don't push my kids spiritually. You know what it just told me? They don't understand the role as a parent. They have a secular view of a parent. You know what view they have? They have the view of the secular society that says, I'm going to let my child make their own decision. And you know what that's based on? It's based on the belief that a child is not born a sinner. Because a child left to himself, what will he do? What? A child left to himself will bring what? His mother to shame. Okay? They're already crooked. They're born crooked. They're already bent towards sin. The parents' job is to unbend them so they can come to the Lord. Okay? Now, number three here under B, correct training. What are the consequences of a child not being correctly disciplined? I have four things. Fill in a couple breaks. One is lazy. Are children born lazy? Oh, man. They're born lazy.
Yeah, they get their diaper changed. They get fat and all this right off the bat.
Yeah. And you know what? When girls are lazy, you really got a problem. Because boys are really lazy. And girls typically are energetic. And if a girl's lazy, you got big problems. Because I don't know how this works, but I know that, you know, girls are born wanting to usurp the authority. And if they're lazy, you got a real problem. You got a double problem. Now, boys, if you all have boys, you know exactly what I'm saying. They're as lazy as can be. And it's right in their sinful nature. If they aren't disciplined, they're going to be lazy. If their child isn't disciplined, they're going to be selfish. They're going to be selfish. Well, we just had the grandkids. Okay, so here's a whole box of little toys. Little toy cars and stuff. A whole box of them. You know, there's probably 100 of them in there. Okay, and so one child picks out a car out of that box of 100, okay? And they have it. And the next one, what do?
They want that car.
They don't go in that box. They come and they grab that one, right? That's what they do. You know what that's called? Selfishness. Selfishness. And if they aren't disciplined, they're going to be selfish. Because it's there. Yes. Yeah, children are born liars. Did you know that? Yeah, you know how they lie? They lie real young. Okay, that baby, and Brother Sanders was talking about this week, that baby is crying. And you give the baby, try to feed the baby, baby doesn't want it. Okay, and like Brother Sanders says, well, you check the other end. Okay, and everything is fine. Okay, and if you're, you know, a little astute, you'll just look in their eyes and see if they're really healthy or, you know, whatever. But you know what? Everything is fine. But they cried as though there was something wrong. What did they want to do? They were lying. There wasn't anything wrong. They wanted attention. Now, there is a time that maybe that's exactly what they need. And I'm not going to say that child doesn't need attention. They need to be bonded to mother. They need that attention. I'm not saying they don't. A child knows if they're loved or not. They know it. Okay? If that child is a problem, if that parent doesn't want that child, they know that. Oh, you're a burden. You're just making my life miserable. You're costing me money. You're costing me time. I'd rather be out with the girls playing, you know? And I got to stay home, take care. You know, that child knows that. And, you know, they will cry. And they will cry, and they will cry, and they will cry, and they will cry. Why? Because they know they're not loved. Yes?
I just read this a few days ago in my devotions, but when the people brought the little kids to the Lord, that he would touch them, and then it says he took them up in his arms and blessed them. So I think that would even be a specific basis there for showing physical affection to the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's obvious. You show love by paying attention. If a child's, all their needs are met and they cry, what are they crying for? There's a reason they're crying. They may be lying. They can lie. Do you know that? And do you ever have a baby, changing a baby and they roll over? Why do they roll over? They're doing their own thing. They know they're supposed to stay there so you can change them. But you know, they're born a sinner. If they're allowed to do whatever they want, that's just going to be confirmed in their heart. It's going to be confirmed in their heart. They can get their way. It's going to be confirmed in their heart. And as the older they get, that will get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And that selfishness will get stronger and stronger and stronger. That laziness will get stronger and stronger and stronger. Yeah. And let's talk about the last one. Suspicious. Okay? A child left to himself will become suspicious. What do I mean? Suspicious of authority. You know, I know that some people were never correctly raised. You know why? They're suspicious of authority. They don't trust their pastor. They're suspicious of him. They're suspicious of authority. They don't trust authority. You know why? Adults are like that. Because they were never correctly disciplined. And if they are raised in an unsaved home, they're probably suspicious of authority. They don't trust authority. A child that is properly disciplined. Unlike the liberals say, you spank that child, you'll twist them. No, you don't spank them, they'll become twisted. If they're properly disciplined, you know what? They will trust authority. They will know. They will say, you know what? I needed that spanking. I'm glad I got spanking. I mean, the kids the other day were talking, I don't even remember it. They were together and they were talking about the time that they were lined up to go into dad's room to get a spanking. I don't remember it, okay? But they remember it, okay? Now, you remember it? but suspicion. Now, you think about that. Tita here is shaking her head yes. You know why? She's raised in a Christian home. She's raised in a good church. She followed her parents. She followed her pastor under courtship. And all her life, she was under authority. And you know what? She isn't afraid of authority. She knows her pastor's her friend. She knows that what he preaches will help her. And that her life will be blessed by it. Okay? A lot of people don't have that privilege. They're always suspicious. And the teacher is the enemy. The teacher's picking on my kid. Ah, what are you doing down at school? You know what the problem is? They don't trust authority. And you know what? If a parent hasn't been disciplined correctly, unless they let the Lord take care of their life, they're going to do the same thing to their kids. And their kids won't love authority either. They'll be suspicious of authority. And that's not a good trait, is it? It's not a good trait. Thomas?
Something I think that relates to what you were saying about having a kid getting twisted when he doesn't get disciplined. Like, so oftentimes, like I've heard people mention, like different pastors that, like, let's say a parent just yells at the kids or doesn't discipline them, the kid also can't get a clean conscience because you can't really ever kind of get out of it. But if you just, instead of doing all this other stuff, you know, you discipline them, then it's over, you don't bring it up again, the kid can have a clean conscience, doesn't get twisted. Instead, if there's like, they just do all these other things to just kind of handle it, don't take care of it, then he's like in this never land. It's not ever over. The sin isn't taken care of. It's just there building up. And that messes the kid up.
Exactly. That's a very good point. Discipline takes care of the sin and it's over with. And now you can have a normal relationship. If you don't take care of the problem, now there's tension, right? And so what do you have? You have a house full of tension and a house full of children whose consciences are bad. And what happens when a child's conscience is bad? We'll get it in the morning service this morning. What happened to Saul when his conscience was bad? He became an angry man. He became an angry man because his conscience wasn't right. Yes?
That's what happens with inconsistent discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. Kids become bitter and angry.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know. They get away with it 20 times and all of a sudden dad or mom will get very angry, not in love.
Yeah. It was like this. I went to a camp in California. We got closing this. Went to a camp in California. And as I went to the camp, I realized that the atmosphere of the kids was, this place is a joke. And the preaching was great. The preaching was great. It was great preaching. But you know what? They had rules. But the authorities did not enforce the rules. And so the kids, when they came to camp, this was Lucerne Christian Conference Center, they went to camp, they had this attitude. Big deal. Why did they have that idea? Because they treated the Word of God in the same way. Well, let me put it a different way. They figured, well, if they have these rules and they don't enforce them, that must mean that what the Bible says isn't really true either. And that's how it works. Inconsistency twists their idea of truth. Either it's true or isn't true. And that's the one of the duties of the parent. Hey, if it's true, boy, we better be willing to pay the price to make sure that we do what's right. Because otherwise they're going to get a twisted view of truth. And they don't know what truth is. And they'll think, well, the Bible's true sometimes, I don't know when. And it's a subconscious of a child. These things are so important about a godly seed. Okay, I guess our time is up. But this is very, very important subject. I hope that, like I said, some of these things are generalized, but there's a principle there that we really have to grab a hold of. And it isn't, and these things aren't accidents. These are things that we have to do on purpose if we want to have a godly seed. This isn't something that you can just throw away. This is very, very, very important. Okay, let's pray. Father, pray bless this time as we've studied a very important subject. And Lord, we have to do something about these things. We can't just know them. And I pray that, Lord, even now, there will be those who say, yes, I have been inconsistent with my discipline, and I am going to do it right. And for the sake of my child, I am going to raise them the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And pray to help your people do so in Jesus' name. Amen.